on corporate homing.
How to get yourself prepared to go on vacation.
Planning for vacation starts about a month out.
I'm a 2 a.m. doing laundry person. You have to tell people more than once that you're going to be gone.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
Expedia is not your friend, nor is Travelocity.
Your face should be bare in the air.
I'm looking crazy still sitting in my suit trying to take my jacket off.
I might be at the pool, outlining an episode of Corporate Homie.
How many pair of panties does she have? What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Ooh, ooh.
So we recently did a podcast called Travel Tales, how to plan to be out of the office and away from home before vacation or holiday. And so we wanted to follow up to that episode with actually, now that we told you how to prepare to be away from home and away from the office, now give you some actual travel tips now that you're actually ready to go on your trip.
Absolutely. So you've done your preparation to be out of the office, to go on your trip or to go on your vacation or your conference, and now you need to pack. You need to know what to bring with you.
Right, and how it's all going to go on the plane. So we're just going to jump right in here. My first tip is about how you book your ticket. Not just your ticket, but how you book your ticket and how you book your hotel, assuming that you're staying in a hotel. And that is book direct.
Yes, Expedia is not your friend, nor is Travelocity, nor is Priceline.
Right, or all those other third-party sites. So to me, it's fine to use those sites to check prices, but when you're actually ready to book, you should book your hotel and your airline directly with the hotel and directly with the airline. And the reason for this is there are a couple of reasons for this. First, because when you book with a third party organization or company, you're actually a customer of them. So if you have anything that goes wrong, Marriott is not trying to help you.
Or not necessarily. 90% of the time, they won't.
Right. Or United, because they take their inventory and basically sell it to them. So now you have issues. You need to go back to Expedia or whoever you were working with. And you want to actually have your relationship be with who, you know, the actual person or organization you're going to be using. The second reason for that is I think there is an importance in having brand loyalty.
So you can build status.
Right. So you can build status and most importantly, avoid fees. So when you also book through the third party, you're oftentimes paying extra fees and you really want to develop a brand loyalty so that you're not paying those fees.
Status is not just for the bougie homies. It's also for the efficient homies.
And practical.
And the pragmatic homies, because you're saving $100 on the ticket, but now you're paying baggage fees each way. Or your bag can only be 50 pounds. When you have status, your bag can be up to 75 pounds. So you're not paying overweight fees. I would take it a step further and say not only do you want to show loyalty through the airline and the hotel, but also your rental car. Because a lot of the rental car companies allow you to tie your frequent flyer airline account to the rental car, which also helps you build more miles, more status, more perks. So it's not just, ooh, yay, I got upgraded to first class. It's like, oh no, every trip I'm saving $50 because I'm not paying the $25 check baggage fee. So it's not
right.
Just about
and even,
being
yeah.
high
and
post.
But to help with the high post, the people with the status get on the plane first, which means that they tend to get their carry-on on the plane, as opposed to when you have no status, you're in the back of the plane, and while you had this carry-on, it's actually not going to be carried on. It's getting checked at the gate because you're in group 7.
Right. My next tip is you should have a primary and a secondary airline. Because when you live in a city that's not a hub city, for example, I live in Tampa versus when I lived in Atlanta, Delta was a hub city for Atlanta. So, or Atlanta is a hub city for Delta. You can basically get anywhere in the world in Atlanta on a one-way ticket, on a round direct flight. That's not the case in Tampa. So you need a primary airline, and then you need a secondary because, so for me, that's Delta and Southwest. Because, for example, when I go to Texas, I don't want to have to go through Atlanta to get to Houston. So I'll fly Southwest. But if I'm going to have to connect regardless, my rule of thumb is I'm not connecting on any Southwest flight. I'm only using Southwest for direct flights. And then I don't believe in Southwest for longer than 3 hours. So for me, that's just my personal preference. So I would say for those homies who do not live in a city where the airline is up, you need a primary and a secondary so that you can start building loyalty on both those platforms.
I think that's a good point. And I live in a hub city, so I definitely don't have, like you said, don't have that problem, but I do have a primary and a secondary for hotels for that same reason. I really try to stay pretty loyal to Marriott, to Starwood, and before it would be, and Marriott would be my backup. So if I went to a conference and the host hotel was a Hilton, but across the street was a Marriott, I still stay at my brand, especially for conferences where you have multiple days. That's a great time to sort of bank nights, because it's rare that when I travel personally, I'm booking 5 nights a hotel, but that can happen often if I'm traveling to a conference. So I had sort of had the same rationale behind a hotel. My next tip to make your travel experience pretty smooth is make a packing list.
Can I just say one thing before we actually start packing? The other thing that I would say, and this is not something that I always had confidence to do when I was younger in my career, so I really want to point this out. Communicate your travel preferences to your job, because most jobs have a travel profile for the employees with your frequent flyer number, your TSA, your global entry number, or your rental car, you know, membership number, your hotel membership number. And in my profile, it says Delta, then Southwest, SPG, or now Bonvoy. So, and when I was younger, I would just do whatever they told me to do. And like you said, you're missing out on those miles. You're missing out on those loyalty and points opportunities. And especially for the homies who like to travel personally, who have family, all that time you're away from your family, you can pass those benefits on to your family. You can't do that if you don't have in your profile, you find all willy-nilly in your business profile because you haven't taken the time to fill it out and put your preferences in. And I'll even tell my assistant, like, don't bring me United options. We're Delta and Southwest. And unless it's against the policy, the ticket is so expensive, which has never happened, right, I want to be on those two airlines.
I think that's a really good point. And I have found that rarely does the company care. So they have a travel, they're happy to book it for you, and whatever you don't have, if they don't have a preference. So if you have a preference, I think that's a great point. You should communicate it and not be afraid to voice your travel preferences. And like you said, at some organizations, it's just a matter of filling out the form, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now I was saying you've booked your flight, you've booked your hotel. Now it's time to actually get ready for the trip. I think you have to have, I won't even say, I said a packing list, but sort of like a packing strategy. So for me, first off, I immediately decide if it's a carry-on or a check bag.
And what's that litmus test for you?
You know, I hear people say this all the time, like, you can travel 5 days or 6 days in a carry-on. And I think perhaps that might be true if you're really petite and your clothes are really little.
Or if you're somebody that's going to wear the same pair of pants 4 days in a row.
Right. And so, but to me also, like, I try to work out, I'm bringing workout clothes. So I have probably a 3 or 4 day trip is a carry-on. Anything over that ends up being a check bag. I also, I guess I should say up front, I have toiletries I don't ever have to pack, because I have toiletries I keep at home. I have carry-on toiletries, and I have check bag toiletries, so I really don't ever have to.
I have the same thing. I have a carry on pre-packed toiletry bag, and when I use something that I'm out of, I immediately buy it when I get home. What's also nice about that is it prevents me from forgetting things like safety pins or my Clorox wipes because it's already pre-packed. So I have like, I basically have two pre-packed carry-ons and I have one pre-packed check luggage that that's a hanging toiletry bag.
Yeah, exactly. And then since I don't, I just want to get that out the way. And then I have basically, I always write a packing list no matter what. Even if it's a quick trip, like when I was preparing to go to your wedding, I write out a packing list like, okay, I need this on Friday, I need this on Saturday, I need this on Sunday. And for me, I just write my list out. I think there are apps that have packing lists. I don't type mine up or anything. That way I can usually do it when I'm sitting. I wrote that one when I was sitting in the at the food court waiting on my food one day. You know, just like anywhere, Smoothie King, I can just sort of scratch it out. But that helps me realize immediately what I need by day. And I go ahead and write out like the shoes and accessories and everything. And I'm pretty pedantic about it so that that way I literally do not forget anything. And I started being that pedantic because it used to be I would always travel and I would forget my pajamas.
Right.
I would pack for the day and think I don't have to write pajamas down or something like that. And then I would always forget my pajamas.
I do the same thing. I write a list out. And then, as I mentioned, I start laying it out in the guest bedroom. And then whatever I've laid out is going to sound probably more information the homies want to know. I have an extra set of undergarments for each day because I just feel like that will be the day that it's 200 degrees and I want to take an extra set, an extra shower. And I don't want to be the person who doesn't have undergarments
to take underwear.
So I have the same basically, thing. If you ever travel with me, you think, how many pair of panties does she have?
Chris, do you need?
It's lots. Because I might want to take 3 showers that day.
Right. And like I said, that, I think that's a great point. And just don't forget the little stuff, like put on the list sunglasses, sunscreen if you're going to the beach. Like because if not, you're going to forget that. And then you end up buying $20 sunscreen at the hotel and then you're upset at yourself because you left the bottle that you had from Walmart.
I 100% agree with that. And this is like a fun fact for me for packing, since Demetri was talking about the sunscreen and whatnot. Any trip that I'm taking to a warm climate or between the months of May and September, I always bring a swimsuit and a beach bag.
Oh, I do too. I didn't know you did that.
I might go to the pool.
I never know.
Especially if it's conference.
To the pool.
Where y'all going
to? Ladies.
To the pool.
To the pool.
If we get three free hours, I'm going to be at the pool.
I might be at the pool. Writing my packing list for the next trip. Outlining an episode of Corporate Homie. I do the same thing. I definitely always put in a swimsuit. And then another thing I do is I always pack one more dress. So that there's any type of outfit malfunction, I have an extra outfit. And the reason why I do a dress is because usually a dress doesn't take up any more space. Like just one dress that can already go with a pair of shoes I have or whatever. Just so if there is a button breaks or a zipper breaks on the pants or on the outfit, I always have, or I something happens, I always have one more.
So that's
dress.
Interesting. You know, I'm not a dress person, so I always have an extra pair of black slacks because I figure regardless of what I've packed, and
I can make it work with another top.
I used to be horrible. This person was awful with this. And now I always have an extra pair, an extra outfit. If it's a work trip, I have an extra evening casual outfit because I was always the person who was in my suit all day. They're like, we're going to meet for dinner. I go wash my face, brush my teeth, and then people come back and they're showered and they're in like jeans. And then I'm looking crazy still sitting in my suit trying to take my jacket off. So for some reason, I'm not good at that. So now I say, it doesn't matter if they say we're going to dinner, not going to dinner, pack an extra pair like of khakis or, you know, whatever your casual, business casual to go to dinner. And it's typically not jeans because I don't typically want to be that casual in the evening. So that's something else that I do, especially.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's how my dress works. So if I get caught, it's a dress I can usually dress up or dress down for that exact reason. So that maybe I don't have a wardrobe malfunction, but I'm just short an outfit, right? And then I can just put that on with my flip flops and my jeans.
I was gonna say, and then whatever that evening jacket is gonna be, that's what I wear on travel day. So if that's gonna be, and that's what I think, a classic blue blazer that you can put on with jeans, blah 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 blah, whatever. That's my travel day. The jean jackets are great because you can kind of dress them up or down depending on what you have on.
Yeah. Depending on what you are, but you're right. For a work conference, I also am good for a good black blazer, a good khaki blazer, a good navy blazer with my t-shirt and jeans, because like you said, you can throw it on with the dress, you can dress it up, dress it down. That's a great point.
This is huge for me. I keep some type of outfit change in my carry-on. I don't want to be the person whose luggage got lost, delayed, what have you, and I don't have anything to wear. So again, just, you know, making sure that I'm not, if I'm checking a bag, I put an extra pair.
Okay. I don't do that. I think I've talked about this before. My hack for that is I keep a pair of underwear in my carry-on, and I'm trying to make myself remember to wash them, but I keep it in a Ziploc bag in my work bag, in my carry-on, with a
dryer sheet.
Fabric softener sheet in it, so that kind of stays fresh. But I've never thought of that, but that makes sense if you're checking a bag to actually have an outfit with you. Okay, so my next tip is packing cubes.
Yes, packing cubes are your friend.
Yes, and they, to me, change your whole life. Even on big trips, small trips, I always use a packing cube. For one thing, you can compress them down. You can get more in them. For those of you who are not familiar with a packing cube, they sell them in sets. I buy mine on Amazon. I've seen them at the Container Store. I think I've seen
Target,
them at Walmart. Yeah, any place that they sell luggage or travel things. In the winter, I use packing cubes and those Ziploc compression bags.
Because take your sweaters and everything down.
Make sweaters and coats. Like, I've gone on a ski trip and just been in a carry-on because I crushed it down. The thing I like about the packing cubes is it keeps everything in your suitcase really nice and tight. And I can also pack by either day, or I usually pack by things, like
my workout stuff,
the outfits, and this is a one for the workout. For my workout cube, here's a hack for everyone. I think it's Eagle's Nest, Eagle's Land. We can put it in the show notes, but I have a packing cube. They sell a packing cube that's dual-sided. So you put the clean clothes on one side and the dirty clothes on the other side.
Oh, you fancy, huh? Oh, you fancy, huh? Oh, you fancy, huh? Oh, you fancy, huh?
And so then if you have wet clothes, like a swimsuit, wet workout clothes, and again, the hack is I always put a dryer sheet on that dirty side so that if the clothes smell from working out or whatever,
suitcase,
they're not going to smell up my whole suitcase. I also like the packing cubes because if you've ever had your carry-on opened in TSA, it doesn't show really any of your business. So they can open up your suitcase and nobody's looking at your underwear, or you don't have stuff flying out. Have you ever seen somebody open up their bag and all of a sudden their shampoo is rolling across the floor? Everything looks all nice and neat.
And in that same vein of being efficient, I always bring extra Ziploc bags and extra grocery bags, right? I just feel like on a trip, especially if you're sharing a hotel room like Demetra and I do a lot, you don't want somebody else to grab that cleaning bag that nobody ever uses for the cleaners that they use. Yeah,
I grab that
so
all the time.
You have your extra little, you know, Publix bag, the plastic bag, and your extras.
And is that where
I put my
dirty
clothes? Right, I put that in there. And then, like you, I travel with, I put the dryer sheets in the Ziploc bag. And I just have the extra Ziploc bag in case something spills, and another Ziploc bag. I've got a couple extra clean ones with me that I can transfer to. So I just like to have extra bag. Oh, and then I don't go anywhere, actually travel, not travel, without Clorox wipes. Or, you know, I wipe everything down.
I think you have to decide what kind of luggage you're going to have. I've had both the softback luggage and I've had the hardback luggage. Here's why I prefer the hardback luggage for a carry-on. Really for any luggage. It is because one time I had my bag sitting out on the tarmac in a storm.
Everything
when I got my clothes, everything was wet. And so I was like, never again, because if you're in a hardback luggage, you know, they can do whatever and your stuff inside is fine. The other reason why I prefer the hardback, especially for the carry-on, is you can't overpack it. So when I had the softback, I often had it bulged out so much that I would get on the plane and it wouldn't fit in the overhead bin. Then I was the person opening up my luggage, trying to pull something out the front pocket or pull something out so that my luggage would fit in. In the hardback scenario, once it's in, and your bag is going to fit overhead right. No matter what.
All right, so.
My last thing for preparation is, before you get on the flight, is make sure you have TSA pre-check.
I say go ahead and be a big dog and just go ahead and get global entry.
Well, yes, because global entry gives you it, and they're the same price. So the little known secret is global entry and TSA pre-check cost the same thing. And when you get global entry, which we'll get to when we get to international tips, you get the TSA stuff anyway. Okay, so let's get to you on the plane.
So
you were ready
I'm
to go
always
about being on
freezing,
the plane.
Always. So I'm not ever traveling without a sweater, a pashmina. We just talked about a jean jacket, something, because the airline is going to be super, super cold. And I don't trust the Delta little flimsy blankets that I think that they just repackage in compression bags and give back to people and don't clean. I'm like paranoid about that.
That's what I was about to say. I'm too much of a germaphobe to use somebody's blanket, but I also love to be snuggled down on the flight, especially if I do get that good upgrade. And so I also, even if I have a jacket, I still have a pashmina. I typically buy them on the streets of New
$12.
York for like $15, $20. They also sell them in the airport that pretty cheap too. Sometimes they'll have them two for 20 or something like that. But you don't need a fancy pashmina, but I have a good one that I love that iWork gave out at a conference. But a good pashmina, I'm with you on that. My next thing that I have on the plane, well, I guess it's your next thing too, is you got to have hand sanitizer I have a bottle of Lysol and the wipes. I don't think they ever wipe down the tray table. And I've seen people do some
I don't want to talk about it.
I saw somebody change a baby's diaper one time on a fit. And then you'll see somebody with their head down on the tray table taking a nappy nap.
Don't put your face on that. Don't put my cell phone in those little pockets. I don't know what's been in those pockets.
I don't either. I don't know what's been in those. I've seen people put all kind of nasty stuff in those pockets. So I wipe the tray table down. I usually wipe the seatbelt down. And I wipe the armrest down. And
you're going to be sick.
And more times than not, people look at you like you're crazy.
They'll ask to borrow it.
They ask to have one. That's what I say. They want to, but you can't borrow a wipe. You like, and I hate when they say that. I'm like, you can just have it. I don't want you to give it back.
Someone else's drink, right? Nah, we're good on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to go through everything that I put in my carry-on bag, but I will say that.
No, I think you should to help the homies, because we can't assume everybody knows. So go ahead and put
I got my noise canceling headphones, because I hate all that noise. Obviously, I've got my charger.
Yes, and I just wanted to say about the noise cancellation headphones. They don't have to be expensive. You just need to, and you don't necessarily need to be listening to music. I think a lot of people don't understand.
If you just put them on and turn them on, all of a sudden, silence.
Right, especially when you get stuck sitting on the wing. Because that's super loud. Okay, so I had noise cancellation headphones. Then I had
I'm not an eye mask person, but, you know, my wife is. She's all about an eye mask. So, I'm with you on that.
So, I have that because I, like you always say, we don't get enough sleep. I like to sleep. And for the person who won't shut their window for like an evening flight and they're letting it in. So what do you have next on your...
I carry an extra Yeti bottle with me, because a lot of the airports now have the filtered water bottles. And so you don't have to spend $8 buying a bottle of water. You've got your extra Yeti cup and you fill it up with that. And also, you know, this goes without saying, your battery charger. Abeba has to fly with me when this happens. I don't know how. We will fly from Atlanta to Tampa, and we're on like some international flight with the Delta One cabinets. Every seat has a charger, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll get on a flight to Phoenix from Atlanta, and it's 200 years old, ain't a charge, it's not a plug-in site, and then the flight's 3 hours. So you got to have your battery charger with you.
Or worse, there is an outlet, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, right.
It doesn't work.
That doesn't happen on Delta.
Oh, Lord. Well, that happens on United. So one of the things, reason why I totally agree with you about the charger, but I have a suitcase. I have the Away suitcase, and it has an injectable battery.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And so I take that on, and it's like a supercharger. It can charge two things at once. So I definitely agree. Got to have a charger. Okay, my next thing that I put in my carry-on is tea bags and sweetener. So a lot of times, because I don't drink coffee, I want to have tea, but I don't want they usually have like a Lipton or a generic Lipton.
Some crappy tea.
Right, and here's the hack. Take the tea from the hotel. They have great tea bags.
We are definitely not opposed to taking hotel toiletries. That's basically what's in those pre-packed carry-on bags.
That's right.
Because that hotel costs $311. I pay for that.
And I took my chamomile tea from there.
If you ever spend the night with me, those are all the nice toiletries that are in my guest bedroom for you, in my guest bathroom.
That's right.
For you.
Right.
And shower caps.
Enjoy your shower gel from the W.
Exactly.
They like. All right. They have Bliss products.
What do you have next? One I think everybody forgets. I have a day's worth of cash on me. I just feel like.
You never
know when you're somewhere.
I like that.
They don't take cards. You know, you just want to have like at least $100 on you, if you're traveling internationally, like a day's worth of cash. But you don't want to travel without having one actual dollar on you.
Okay, I like that. That's self-explanatory. My next thing is. I travel with a face spray. Mm-hmm. If I'm on a long flight, it's really in my bag all the time. But one of the tips I'll tell the ladies is you really shouldn't fly with makeup on your face.
The air is so drying.
And so I heard a makeup artist tell me years ago when I first started traveling a bunch, and she said you should be bare in the air. Your face should be bare in the air. So I tend to just travel on my face with just moisturizer, and then I have I love the new Africa Miranda's oil, and I put that on my face, and then and then that's enough.
Right.
So face spray.
My last secret tip for a carry-on that nobody does: an ink pen. Somebody's always asking to borrow your pen on an international flight for the immigration forms.
Yeah.
Put an ink pen in your carry-on bag. I know people are like, a pen? Drake? Yes, ink pen.
Oh, so I had, I have two more tips. You said your last one.
Share my secret tip.
My next one is entertainment. I don't care how short, unless you're on like a 30-minute flight, you need a book. You need, have downloaded some shows. If you're on a 3-4 hour flight, you need your iPad so you can watch the Delta app or the United app or the whatever the airline you're on, their apps entertainment. Usually a lot of planes do not have TVs anymore. You can watch on their app.
They're trying to push us all to our own devices. Yeah, so I've got the same.
To bring your device.
That was my last tip, too.
Okay.
It's like they're trying to push you to your own device, so you need to entertain yourself.
Okay, so then my next one is your own, like, lip balm and lotion, because again, it's just drying. Your lips can get really chapped, especially on long flights. Then my very last one, my secret one, is compression socks.
Yep, gotta have those.
If you travel on international flights,
really anything longer than about 3.5 hours, like four hours,
you should have on compression socks. If you don't think that compression socks are necessary, take a look at the flight attendants. They're never on any flights without them. They all wear compression socks. So that's my in-flight. Do you have tips for like once you get there? I have a couple of tips.
I have a couple of tips for when you get there, but they're really surrounding cleanliness. Right?
Okay, go ahead.
And it's back
to... Okay, go ahead.
So I use the Clorox wipes. And I say Clorox, but whatever your sanitizer wipes of choice, to clean the doorknob. To clean the remote on the television, and to clean the phone in the hotel.
And the handle at the sink and the toilet.
Yeah, right.
I just think of the stuff that people are touching. And I'll tell you what, when you said those Ziploc bags, I thought, I have extra Ziploc bags because I put the remote in the Ziploc bag and I just hid it through this bag. Because I think remotes, it's just hard to get in there. It's been all kind of stuff. So
that's a good idea.
That's mine. My other one about landing after you land is you should have already figured out how you're going to get your transportation to your destination. Have you checked to see if they have Uber? Do they not have Uber? Do you need a car service? Can you take the bus? Can you take the subway? Are you renting a car? I think you can't wait till you land to sort of figure
what
out
the
how
plan
you're
going
to get from the airport to your destination.
And, you know, for most of the homies, when you're traveling internationally, if you don't know this, a lot of them have different power outlets than we do. And so you need to have a converter that converts your devices to whatever country you're in, Europe or Asia or what have you. You're not going to typically run into that issue in the Caribbean, but when you are traveling overseas, you will.
Yeah, that's a really good point. As far as international trips, I would say if you haven't gotten your passport, make sure you give yourself ample time to obtain a passport. Obtaining a passport is not a quick process, and if you want it to be quick, it can take up a substantial amount of time.
Have to get a rush one.
And frankly, a substantial amount of your money. And then another thing about the passport is that remember that if you have a passport, a lot of places will not let you land.
Yeah.
If your passport is expiring with 6 months, and I just learned this, yeah, they won't stamp your passport. And so although recently, this just happened to me in June, my passport wasn't expiring until December, but then I had to rush to get my passport renewed because I didn't have 6 months.
Yeah, the 6 month rule is a good point. And also, you need to check and make sure that you have pages that can be stamped. So if you've been traveling so much that you don't have a place for them to stamp you, you're going to have to get a new passport as well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
my other international tip is about how you declare. Sort of you were talking about filling out the customs form. With the pin that you have in your carry-on that Bimitra talked about. If you have very expensive jewelry, you'll have to declare it if it's in your carry-on, but you don't have to declare it if you have it on. Put it on your person, because you don't want to end up sitting in somebody's, you know, foreign country's office talking about a declaration of stuff when you could just wear your... You might look like Mr. T, but go ahead and put all your
channel your Mr. T.
And the only time, last thing I have, is the only time I ever get travel insurance is when I'm traveling internationally. And really what really happened is I had a friend years ago whose father passed away out of the country. And it was very difficult to get him back home, his body back home, and they had to pay for it. But most travel insurance, all of that's covered. Or we've had friends who hurt her knee, had like a knee blowout out of town. And so your travel insurance covers all of those things. And so also, I guess we didn't say this, make sure you're traveling with your medical insurance card. Because if something happens to you and you need to
get help.
Going. And then I just want to reiterate, we talked about this, but the global entry, because when you're on an international trip, you really want to be able to clear. Basically, global entry allows you to clear customs up front, and then when you ever come back from an international trip, the customs lines
they can be long, and then that takes all the fun and all the excitement. You know, you'll have all this energy on your way to the trip, and coming back, you don't have that same kind of energy. The trip is over. Like you're off the high. Yeah, right. So the last thing you want to do is wait 25 minutes to get back into the country.
Or 45. Yeah, right. Exactly. So these are just our tips.
Yeah, so these are just our tips. Some favorite things that we do that we find helpful when we're traveling and personally for work, conferences. We would love to hear how these tips were useful or not useful to you. So please, let us know.
Yep. And so, of course, we really appreciate you listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please give us a rating or a review on the platform that you listen to us. And if you have any questions or topics you want covered, feel free to email us at questions@corporatehomie.com. And if you want us to come and speak at your organization, send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
The all of you get you a twin, get you another homie.